Sometimes people may immaturely think like that to justify their envy. Right? Daksha, correct. Correct. Overcoming envy begins with sincerely desiring to overcome envy. And sincerely praying. Yes, anything else? Insecurity leads to envy. Perfect. Correct. Yes, competition may be there. It should be a healthy competition amongst devotees to inspire each other to render better service to Krishna. But not, that should not get into any feelings of envy or grudge or superiority or inferiority complexes. Yes. Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Root cause of envy is directly or indirectly there is envy towards Krishna. Yeah, as Suvarat Prabhu shared very honestly yesterday, seeing his bhoga plate I become envious sometimes. Sometimes that envy could manifest in different flavor also. Why so much for him? When someone is being praised so much, why he is being praised so much? It's not a big thing. For example, like it happens to me also quite sometimes. They are making, say, decoration for Jhulan Yatra or Nauka Vihar. One more is there. Jalak Krida during summer. So sometimes we see some of our kalakars, means our artistic pujaris, they want to create a very elaborate structure for darshan and all. The darshan will be there for 2-3 hours maximum and they work whole day for it. Right? And after these 2-3 hours they will remove and then start working on another darshan. Right? So why so much? They are expressing their love for Krishna. Right? Sometimes our envy could indirectly be expressed in a way that it's okay. Oh, they want help, you take help. Yeah, sometimes we may think that why he has to be served this much. Right? Anyways, it has to be removed only, ultimately. Thoda seva kam karo. Right? Jitna hai, utna mein karo. Sometimes it's practical to do like that. But sometimes even if we have the bandwidth to do also, we may not get into doing it. Some people have this mood of opulently offering so much of bhoga to the Lord, making 1,088. So it's not, sometimes it is out of lack of manpower or finance, etc. But sometimes it is lack of our enthusiasm also. Or sometimes it could be because we are not willing to serve Krishna in that manner. Right? Can you see? Seeing the kids, I just remembered. Sometimes what happens is, when a second child is born in a house, the older child sometimes could develop envy towards the younger child. Because the mother's attention will completely go to the newborn baby. I have seen in our houses. So, now the elder child may be 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, whatever. The elder child, then younger baby is born, baby boy, baby girl, whatever. So mother gives more attention to this boy because other child is much grown up. And other parents also give more, so much attention to that newborn baby. And as they are growing also, there is some things like that. And sometimes certain immature elders will also get into comparing between these two children. So those external comparisons also could induce envy in us. Envy is not always originating from within us. It's there within us, certainly. But sometimes it could be instigated by some external forces also, if we are not careful. Are yuska ki itna glorify kar rahe, aapko kuch kya, nobody, aapko bhaave nahi de rahe. Someone will just insensitively pass some comment and suddenly we become envious. Till now those feelings are not there in our heart, but suddenly we could just be inspired if you are not careful to protect our consciousness properly. So in the fourth canto there is a beautiful example. On the banks of a lake, so many grasses grow sometimes, say kusha grass or something like that. Sometimes these, if not kusha grass, some weeds, some unnecessary grasses. So sometimes these grasses may suck away the water completely from that lake, and that lake, which is supposed to be a shelter for so many people around, so many other living entities, are, that water is unnecessarily being utilized by these weeds, which are unnecessary plants. They don't give flowers, they don't give fruits, they just unnecessarily grow and give shelter to scorpions and snakes or whatever. Right? So this analogy is given to give us this message. If a sadhaka is not careful to protect his consciousness properly by not allowing any negative qualities to creep in into his mind, he may just give in to anarthas. Right? Just like the weeds grow by sucking away the water of the lake. Similarly, anarthas grow if we don't protect our consciousness and focus it on something positive, cultivation of devotional service. Right? So, one way, I just remembered this example because sometimes our envy could be inspired by someone else also. I'm just sharing out of my personal observation also in our family circles. Sometimes the child, new child is born, and some elders, some people who are not that mature, who are not that sensitive, they may say, "Arey, he is, this boy is little fair complexion and the elder son is little dark. Please pass some comment publicly in front of the children only." So, I mean, they may be joking, but because of their insensitivity in making such a statement, especially if the other party is not sportive enough to take it as a joke, if they take it personally or literally, it will develop into a very great inferiority complex in them. Right? So, some children grow up like that. Because elders are constantly comparing these two children, these two brothers or sisters or whatever, in a different way. Okay, now the new baby is born, so you will not get so much attention as this new boy. So like that, they may say, elder person may say, the aunt or uncle may say, out of their jovial spirit, so-called jovial spirit, but that will cause a deep impression. And even if the boy or girl are 20 years old or 25 years old, those impressions will carry. Subtly inside, deep within, there is some envy. And it will start manifesting also many times. Right? So, these things are really detrimental for one's child's growth. And this could creep in into devotional circles also. Who is a person who is making good advancement in devotional service? One who is genuinely developing service attitude. One who is genuinely endeavoring to chant the holy names of Krishna and take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam properly. One who is genuinely taking shelter of these five potent forms of devotional service or various nine processes of devotional service. He is a person who is being advanced. Advancement is not necessarily measured according to one's external accomplishments. Oh, he has 20 counselees and I have only 2 counselees. Right? And he has access to more senior devotees. Right? He can interact with senior devotees more closely. I cannot interact so much. Right? Because of the nature of service, some people may interact with the senior people more closely and more frequently. And because of the nature of service that you are handling, it may not be necessary for you to interact so much. Right? He got 100 embraces from Guru Maharaj and I got only one glance. Occasionally I just get it. Right? So one may get into certain unhealthy comparisons based on certain externals. Of course, these are all very important, very divine and spiritual, certainly. Getting an embrace or blessing or a smile from Guru is definitely wonderful. But just that you don't get it and others get it, You can't just envy other people, right? Just because they get more personal time, you don't get more personal time, because the nature of service that you are handling is that doesn't need so much of attention, right? So one need not get into unhealthy comparisons. And so that's about attention from senior people. Second is one's personal talents also, one's personal performance or skill set also. Oh, he has so many skills and he's able to contribute a lot. I think I won't be able to contribute much. What do I know? I kuch bhi nahi hai. I have seen few Vidyapits also in the earlier batches, few batches back. They were thinking like, I have this physical ailment and I have this and that. I won't be able to contribute much. Sometimes these thoughts overwhelm me. What am I supposed to do? Their spirits go down. Once I was asking one devotee, hey, last 3-4 weeks you are not writing exams. What's happening? He has some physical ailment and then he was in Sevastan and all. So along with his physical strength, his moral also went down. Then I told, it's okay, no problem. Right in the beginning of our orientation class only we say that you're consistently attending classes, trying to study Bhagavatam to the best of your ability is what is expected from you. If you don't get 50 out of 50, no one will get on your case. If you don't write exam at all, then we'll just ask you. Right? So there is no pressure on the performance. So there is no point unnecessarily imagining things that I am good for nothing based on externals. After all, Krishna is not bothered about it. Why are we getting bothered about it? Krishna is bothered how much love he has for me. How much consistently he is doing his service. How much sincerely is he practicing various limbs of his bhakti. That's what he is bothered about. He is not bothered about the external results or accomplishments or the output or numbers that we present, that we produce. Right? They may be there. As when you see things from the perspective of completing a task, all those things will come into consideration. When I have to give service to someone, I will see the person who can give me the best output. Right? But someone who is unable to give the best output need not be the most fallen devotee. And someone who is giving best output in that case, in that service, need not be the best pure devotee in the planet. So, restrict that discussion towards that service only. Don't just get into just envying other people. Oh, they get more attention. I don't get much attention. They get better service. I get this menial service. I'm sure mereko kapda dhone mein laga the. What is that? During festival days, we have multiple sevas. Prominent sevas for Vidyapeeth are kitchen on festival days, abhishek, deity abhishek, and cleaning department. Cleaning means plate cleaning, plate washing and all that for guests. And there are two, three other areas. Somehow your batch didn't get that plate washing on this Janmashtami. Parking. Right. He did parking, right? So things are just chosen. Sometimes people are chosen just based on certain experience or certain compatibility, certain language skills, etc., etc. They're all skill-based selection only. And sometimes, although you both, two people have same skill, I mean, two people are not needed here. Only one person is needed. Who will get it? We don't know. Right? Anyone can get it. Right? Okay, ab idhar jao, udhar jao. Bas ho gaya. I mean, the person who is saying this is like, he is just doing something practical. He doesn't have hold anything personal towards those people. But these people will get into comparison. Are kya? Mereko cleaning mein dala, uska abhishek mein dala. DT abhishek mein. He is wearing uttariya and then participating in DT abhishek. I am washing the utensils, jhota plates of all guests, right? Or I am doing traffic police job, doing the parking. So sometimes one may get into this kind of comparisons. And all these are just small seeds of envy that will just manifest. Right? So one thing one needs to understand is, His Holiness Radha Samara says a beautiful point. Bhoktaram yagnatapasam sarvaloka maheswaram suhurdam sarvabhutanam gnatvamam shanti mruchati. Envious person is not peaceful. Okay. One who is peaceful is actually free from envy. For us to be peaceful and not get agitated seeing someone else's advancement or accomplishment, not necessarily advancement, accomplishment, external, in the external sense. For us to be peaceful, we need to understand three things. Bhokta is Krishna. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Whatever sacrifices one may be doing, whatever activities one may be doing, the ultimate beneficiary or enjoyer of all the activities of every single living entity in the entire creation is ultimately Krishna. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. Number two, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He is the enjoyer. That is number one. Number two, he is the proprietor. He is the proprietor of everything. Number three, Suhurdam. He is the well-wisher. Of whom? Not of that person who is getting success. He is the well-wisher of the person who is getting failure also. Now you are comparing yourself with another person and feeling envious of him because he is doing better than you. He got something better than you, more than you. But Krishna is Suhurdam Sarvabhutanam, and you are also included there. He is also included there. Right? He is a well-wisher of the successful person also. He is a well-wisher of the person who did not attain success the way he wants or the way other person attained. He is a well-wisher of both. So if one understands this simple principle that Krishna is the enjoyer, he is not the enjoyer, I am not the enjoyer. He is actually not the enjoyer of him, I am not the enjoyer of him. He is not the proprietor of things that he is holding, I am not the proprietor of the things that I am desiring. Krishna is. And Krishna is my well-wisher and his well-wisher also. Right? If one just constantly reminds himself of this formulas, these three things, he can be peaceful. There's no need, there's no necessity to get into envy. Actually, by envying people, by nurturing the envy within us, we are just wasting time, wasting valuable human time. Our mind, our energy, everything is going on, going waste in that. So, in this, we are all wanting to claim proprietorship of what belongs to God. That is the human degraded gesture and envy towards Krishna. We want to own what is Krishna's. We want to claim what is his. That's the envy thing. He is famous. He is the master of all six opulences in full for the rest of eternity, since time immemorial. And if we are desiring all those things, we are just expressing our envy in one sense. Okay. So, this envy is under the purview of the three modes of material nature. And Krishna is beyond the three modes. And devotees are beyond the three modes. Means advanced devotees. And devotional service, the process of devotional service is beyond the three modes. How can we make progress in a path which is beyond modes when we are constantly bombarding ourselves with the most degraded feelings under the influence of modes? Right? So one needs to constantly remind oneself of such things. Okay. So there is another type of envy towards the Lord, is that we think we are the friend. This is another type of envy. I am speaking from one lecture given by His Holiness Radha Swami, just one statement. Now, there are some philanthropists. What do? They perform a lot of welfare work for people in general. They may open schools, open hospitals, open this, open that. There's a lot that they can do. They will give charity. They will open... there's something called Chalivendram. In Andhra, they call like that. During summer, they just open tents here and there and put some cool water there in big pots. Right? Simple public welfare works. So there is a lot of help that they are doing to the humanity, and people in general are poor people, no doubt about it. But sometimes, in some people who are actually doing those philanthropical activities, there could be a feeling that I am better than God. Right? People are worshipping God so much, and in one of the commentaries, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also says, people are worshipping God and they are remaining beggars by worshipping God, and poor people are coming to me and I am giving them food, I am giving them cloth, I am giving them certain facilities, so I am better than God. Right? Or why God is so famous? Why they are worshipping God so much? They should worship me. I can give them some practical help. God doesn't do anything. They should worship me. Competition with God. Right? This person's picture is big and God's picture is small. They will remove God's picture. Now I replace it, God. So envy could be expressed towards Krishna or towards great people even by helping others. Right? Everyone who is helping others on a material plane with material motives is directly or indirectly he may be competing with God or expressing his envy towards God. So expression of envy could happen in this manner also. Okay. So there are other things. Sukadeva Goswami is describing how to extinguish the most contaminating disease of all diseases, which is envy. It is to learn to sincerely hear and chant the glories of Lord. Parandrishtva nivartate. Because the glories of the Lord are so sweet and nectarian that they purify our heart to this very core from all trace of enviousness. Okay. So, parandrishtva nivartate. If one has higher taste of relishing Krishna's activities and serving Krishna, loving Krishna, he doesn't desire for the cheap pleasures of sense gratification, of adoration or distinction or praise of people in general in this world. Right? Because he is not getting it. So, he has 2000 fans in his Facebook, and I have only 3 followers. Okay. I opened my Facebook account 10 years back. Till now I could gather only 5 fans. And this fellow just opened now and he has 10,000 fans. Right? So I have, like that, people may just get into comparison. But if one is relishing within the glories of Krishna, he doesn't strive to become glorious in the eyes of the worldly people. Right? Sometimes one may do something also as a part of service. Sometimes some devotees also may have to come in front only for the purpose of doing service with a caution note, with reminding themselves, this is only for service of Krishna. Right, but we don't want to criticize anyone, no comment on anyone. Right, point is, there could be a possibility of envying someone who is more popular than us because we desire popularity. So what happens is, if one can genuinely taste the popularity of Krishna, the fame of Krishna, how glorious Krishna is, how glorious our acharyas are, then he doesn't seek that external fulfillment of being popular himself. Right? Because he's tasting the glories of Krishna. He's tasting the glories of he's appreciating the glories of acharyas. So another beautiful statement by Maharaj. If one does not have the inner fulfillment, which actually comes from the seek the external fulfillment of just glorification, praise, approval, appreciation, from the external people, the people in the external world. So these are all very subtle and very unnoticeable desires that a immature sadhaka could have, an advancing sadhaka could have. So it will take long time even to identify them, and it will take much longer time to overcome them. But at least one should know what is what. So we are here to develop Krishna Prema. So there is a beautiful beautiful description given by the acharyas. I think I read it in Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in the chapter Bhramara Gita, where Uddhava brings the letter of Krishna to the gopis of Vrindavan. Beautiful chapter, brilliant chapter, one of the most of the absence of Krishna, Chakravarti says, gopis are crying so much, not because, and in their crying, in their lamentation, they blame Krishna so much, they criticize Krishna, they say, you are a cheater, you are a, debauchee, you keep changing people, you don't have any heart. In so many ways, they criticize Krishna also, that is their expression of love. So, hankering so much for Krishna's association, not because they are missing the pleasure of association of Krishna. If Krishna is there, they get happiness. Make a beautiful verse. Say, well, it is most inauspicious. Okay. So the sunrise brings auspiciousness to everyone except us, because we will miss Krishna, and these ladies of Mathura, they will be able to see Krishna. They will drink the nectar of Krishna's beauty through their eyes. So apparently these gopis are expressing envy towards the Mathuravasis. Especially the ladies. It's not that they are envious. Second, it's not that they are lamenting because they are missing the association of Krishna and the pleasure that they get in the association of Krishna. Not just the reasons. They are apparent complaining of missing the pleasure. fellow is being taken care of nicely. 2005 when they came to join me in hostel. But still, every day they keep calling me. Did you eat properly? Are they cooking properly? Is your room comfortable? Right? Why don't you come home and then stay for a few days? I'll feed you properly. They're feeding properly. They have seen it also. But they're not confident that this person can be happy there. Because only mother is completely confident that only I know what my son likes, what my child likes. I can do the service in the best possible way. But however professional these people may be, the hostel people or hotel people or other people, they cannot render the quality of service that we can render. We understand they are very organized, it's a very clean place, their cooking is wonderful, everything is nice, but nothing. Mother is not envious of mess in church. Envious of Mathura woman. Externally, if you see only the Bhagavatam verses, you may say that they are envious. Expression of Radharani is Saru Krishna, and they even say, Radharani says in Brahmar Gita, she says that when the wives of Vasudev or the women of Mathura, when they are serving Krishna, will Krishna?
understanding bhakti sadhaka, sometimes misunderstanding comes. Everybody has some shortcoming, and sometimes we overlook, and sometimes we tolerate, whatever. So point in my question that if misunderstanding, if we'll allow the misunderstanding for a long time, it also leads to envy.
We should remember always Shamantakamani episode in the context of misunderstanding. Dwaraka Vasis misunderstood Krishna. If we are misunderstood by some other people, what a big deal. If Krishna is misunderstood by his own Dhamvasis, his own devotees, who are we? And Krishna is very innocent and genuine. Oftentimes we are not. We think that, or we feel that, he misunderstood me, and he is wrong, and I am right. But deep within, if we just introspect, we only give that scope to the other person to misunderstand us. And some behavior or some words or some expressions from our side only we made him misunderstand. We contributed for his misunderstanding. In a small way or big way, we must acknowledge that. Instead of giving 100% responsibility for this misunderstanding and blaming him, you also share some little responsibility. Then we can improve and we can overcome that misunderstanding. If we just completely 100% give the responsibility to him only, we will never improve and the misunderstanding will never be solved. Okay, even if you are 100% innocent in this context and it is 100% his mistake to misunderstand you, you must have done something in some other context and you are getting a reaction now. At least that much we should accept. Okay, in this case maybe I am innocent. But yesterday I did something else that created an impression in him. Or 10 days back I did something else. Or 1 year back or 10 years back I must have done something else that created some impact on him. It may not have created impact on him, that incident. He may not have seen it also. But I am getting certain purification that I deserve through this fellow, through this person. At least that much we should take. Right? Any negative experience that we are getting tormented because someone misunderstood us, whatever it may be. It has some background in our own activities. Directly or indirectly, we are responsible for it, for some reason. We may not be able to find an apparent cause. That's what the whole Avanti Brahman episode is. Na ayam janome sukha dukkha hetoh na devatatma graha karma kala. So all these people are not the cause of my suffering. When someone misunderstands us, if it is his mistake, yeah, that is between him and Krishna. If it is my mistake, which is often the case, I need to work on it. Even if it is not my mistake also, it is purely his mistake also, it's meant for my purification. But if it is creating a damage, unnecessarily someone blamed me by misunderstanding me and insulted me or just spreading some negative impressions about me, there's nothing wrong in clarifying things and proving yourself innocent. That's what Krishna did in Shamantakamani episode. And what is the other comparison which I gave? Srivas Thakur, correct. Srivas Thakur never tried to prove himself innocent. When Gopal Chapal tried to prove that he is a worshipper of Shakta, Srivas Thakur said, yes, I am a worshipper of Shakta. I will make the announcement for you. You have not put any billboard. You only put articulate here. I will create a billboard for you. I will design a flex. Right? So that you can display wherever you want. And I agree that I did it. He is so detached from his public image. Absolutely no desire to prove himself right or innocent. But Krishna, being a leader, he had that responsibility to establish his innocence, and then he did the needful to overcome that misunderstanding and all these things, and people believed him. Okay, Krishna did not steal Samantakamani or whatever. So when misunderstanding comes in our life, when someone misunderstands us, we need to first see, is there any mistake from our side, and try to rectify it. If it is just a personal insult or something personal that is affecting only us, according to the recommendations based on the examples of previous great personalities, the first best thing that we can do is tolerate it instead of fighting for justice. But if it is creating a bigger damage and a bigger scale, you can prove your innocence. Unless it is a very serious abuse, it is just simple, some personally we are just getting, someone said something to us, it's okay, I tolerate it, it's okay. Even if he's at mistake, even if we are genuine also, thoda chain kar lo bas for my purification, that's all. Right? What did Jadabharat do when he was forcefully being carried on a palanquin? Carried on, being made to carry the palanquin of Rahugana. He said, I am just exhausting my pious credits, or impious credits, I think. That's all. When some devotee gets enjoyment, undue enjoyment, he thinks I am exhausting my pious credits. If he gets undue suffering, he thinks I am exhausting my impious credits. It's okay. Why not? Why should I retaliate? But he was very careful not to harm the ants. When he is being chastised, he kept quiet and removed. But when he saw that ants are going to be killed, he behaved little erratically. He moved very erratically and protected the ants. You see, when it's causing a higher damage, you do some action. When it is just affecting you only, try to tolerate. But if you don't have the bandwidth to tolerate, prove your innocence. If at all you are innocent. Internally reconcile. Yeah, try. Externally address. But don't try to internally be satisfied with internal reconciliation when your mind is screaming for external addressing. Artificially suppressing one's those big surge of emotions, you may do something, you may control it now, tomorrow it will just erupt like a volcano. And the lava will affect so many people. But Abhi, erupt a smaller volcano and that lava affects only you and him only. That's better. Right. Makes sense. What's the time? 24.
Hare Krishna. I just want to clarify how envy creates envy. Taking example of Gandhari.
Can we?
Envy creates envy. Gandhari, due to enviousness towards Kunti, he struck his homes and Duryodhana took birth. And throughout life, Duryodhana is envious towards Yudhishthir. Can we take this example?
Maybe. I didn't hear any explanation from an acharya saying exactly like that. Gandhari's envy, she was frustrated. Anyways, Gandhari's envy led to Duryodhana's envy. Maybe, I don't know. Someone knows something, you can share. I'm not sure. But envy leads to envy. As a principle, it is possible. It's quite possible. Right. But is this an exact example? I am not sure. But one person's envy could inspire envy in someone else. It's quite possible. Yeah, probably. I'm not denying that. Probably it could happen. It's quite possible. Just like Didi's negative intention, that lust attracted demoniac children. right? That is clearly mentioned, right? So here I didn't read any mention like that. It must be mentioned also. I don't know. Anything else? Anyone wants to share anything? We have 4 minutes. Yes, Arun,
Siddham Prabhu ka ek quote mujhe yaad aata hai, envy means no vacancy in spiritual world.
No vacancy, correct. No vacancy in spiritual world. Envy is no vacancy. Sorry, you are saying about abbreviation. No Vrindavan, not new Vrindavan, no Vrindavan. Okay, and anything else? Any other thoughts? Yeah, please. Why not?
Envy accompanies us as long as we carry material consciousness. The stronger the material consciousness, the stronger the envy as we experience. Envy prevents us from following scriptures. He gave examples of Indraprutu, which already you mentioned. Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad, Dakhya, and Shiva episodes. And one more is, and envy relating to juniors, at least 3 possible scenarios could take place when we interact with those who are so-called junior to us. In the first scenario, we reveal our envy to them by refusing to assume our responsibility to assist them. We may feel self-satisfied in the knowledge that they are in a lower position. In fact, we may desire to keep them in that position, realizing that if we give our help, they might come up to or even exceed our own so-called superior position. If we refuse to assist because we do not feel any inclination or any compassion, then we should be aware that we are in the mode of ignorance. We may feel enthused to know that those in a lesser position to us are not a part of the competition and may even seek to see them fallen even lower. In the second scenario, we are aware of our own advantageous position and are desirous to helping others by pulling them up, just as a teacher feels fulfilled when a child is able to understand the lesson and apply it. So, too, a devotee becomes content when those junior to them make advancement. Any good teacher is eager to pull a student up and even happier when the student becomes a high achiever, perhaps even surpassing them. There is a little or no envy in such a situation. In third scenario, the Vaishnava is the servant of the servant. Instead of just pulling another up, the Vaishnava goes underneath to push someone else up, even at the risk of jeopardizing his own position. This Vaishnava's position far surpasses the first scenario, in which someone in a higher position ignores someone in a lower position. For a genuine devotee, there is no question of ignoring others because he or she feels their miseries. This rare Vaishnava also goes beyond the second scenario of merely pulling another up. The humanitarian or religionist will pull someone up because they are aware of their own superiority and want to help another based on that feeling.
Thank you.
Sometimes I feel actually in my interaction with other devotees and like that, even the practicing sadhak, if by mistake is not following the 4 negative principles properly in a subtle way, then envious nature cannot, very difficult to go away. But rather, it will increase envious in others' interaction or in any aspects. Because 4 negative principles such a big, tolerated, or grossly, subtly, if somebody not following a sadhak level, that one
subtle, sense. You say subtle.
Subtle.
It takes time to overcome.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time to overcome.
So that's why in envy, because envy is there, but it is many, you can say, it grows also. I mean, say, it's congruent in that sense.
Maybe possible, maybe. You can't just see, one thing is there, one may not be able to subtly, you are saying subtly is a very big thing. Very big.
For example, now the internet media, so people in the sadhak sometimes access and they go to the wrong site. And because the tendency there is, even though no, actually it's not good, but still you access. And finally, yes, consciously contaminated, and externally you see, okay, I am best, but internally actually, but that leads to the envious in the competition, compare, and you know, not tolerating the actually negative of ours. Like
that could lead to many shortcomings, probably envy also may be one of those things, but we can't, I'm not sure there's a direct correlation. It's possible. It may be possible. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.